Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What about Endell Ole? Why are you out of that? You want to call that guy a bitch for not putting your name in
there? I know that has become your thing now, just calling people bitches. You called me one during the break trying to get me pissed, but you couldn't get me.
I just said that because you didn't play golf yesterday.
No.
Hurry up and get all these B words in before school's back in at HISD.
If you missed it, there was a bit of an issue.
An issue? Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah. I want people to get curious to go listen to their podcast. If you're looking for the good stuff, it's the last segment of the first hour and then the first segment of the second hour. That particular
on the Creighton and the late hits.
That particular 20-minute or so span. It's the best thing I've ever. No, it's not the best thing I've ever heard, but it's pretty good.
So it's uncomfortable. It's not good.
Then why are you so thrilled about it? Why are you using the terminology?
Well, John's like, we got to play this, and me and Dell are like, well, I don't know. And then Dell cut it and he put it on our text string and listened to it. And I was like, whoo. And then John came in here, and apparently you didn't even hear that part.
No, I didn't hear that
part. He only heard the first part, which I never heard.
Wow. Yikes.
Yeah, the first part is
it's uncomfortable.
Do your homework or something like that.
Yes.
Or I don't, whatever. You're not thinking this through. It was very condescending.
Well, when he started, teacher told you to do your homework at home. Ooh.
Look, I mean, I don't know if I would have dropped the B word, but I just had a conversation. Hey, you ain't going to talk to me like that. I just would have said it. You ain't
he goes,
like
how
that.
About when he goes... How about when he goes, dude, we're on the show. We're on the air.
Yeah.
You want to do this on the air?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, y'all are on the
You're doing this on the air. Do the show. Do the show.
Keep going.
And he kept saying, this is bad radio. It was. It was horrible.
Okay, so.
Why did you enjoy it so much?
Because I just like that.
I want to bring this up for Dell.
I'm not a big, I can't watch. It's hard sometimes for me to even watch The Office because Michael Scott just makes me cringe. It just makes me cringe. And I'm like, this is too uncomfortable. Like, any Ricky Gervais thing, anything with Ricky Gervais, he makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, it does, but I like it.
You like that.
Yeah, but I don't love I cringe, but I still go.
What about when we were on the plane and I was watching The Office, The English Office, and I'm laughing
out loud hysterically on the whole plane.
And Lance is like, dude, shut up.
Were you like Robert De Niro and Cape
Where
Fear?
Were we coming back from?
He's in that theater watching Problem Child laughing his ass off.
Yes, that was me. That was me. Where were we coming? I don't remember.
Was it the Super Bowl?
Might have been. Yeah.
No, we didn't go on the road for a Super Bowl.
We never went on the road for a Super Bowl? I've been to plenty of them.
No.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know where the hell we were. Oh, it's probably Vegas coming back from one of Tillman's places.
Oh, maybe.
I bet that's what it was. So, Dell, you're...
This is John. That's John on your plane.
Cape Fear?
Yeah.
Hey,
in the movie theater with a cigar?
Yeah. He would be smoking if he was allowed to.
I would be. I would have been.
So, you know, Dell and I watch this show, The Boys, which is... I'd say it's about superheroes, but it's really not. It's about superheroes that are not very nice.
Yeah, and it's like
some of them, and it's very dark, but it's got some real world themes to it.
Corporate capitalism and all that stuff.
I don't care about superhero stuff, but I do like this. This show is good. It's well written. So season two came out, and apparently. And I noticed that the reviews, first of all, I was shocked because I watched the first three episodes and then it was over. I'm like, what the hell? And I couldn't remember if I had heard that it was being released at different times. And then I found out, oh, it's being released every Friday.
Yeah, Eric Layden let me know about it when he was here.
Yeah.
The first three episodes to get you fired up, and then an episode every Friday, because they're like, how does it help us, really, if you guys get through, I don't know, 8 or 10, however they're going to be.
I mean, Game of Thrones is weekly.
In a weekend. Yeah, it doesn't help us.
Handmaid's Tale was weekly.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're like, I'm sure Amazon's like, it doesn't really help us to just give you 8 to 10 episodes in a bunch, and then you're
done
with
us. We want you talking about
it. Come back. We want you coming back.
So anyway, I noticed that season 2 that the ratings weren't that good. I'm like, oh boy, is this not very good? And I'm watching. I'm like, yeah, this is still pretty good. What turns out, review bombing has become one of the uglier sides of fanboy whining, but it's usually been relegated to outcry over women and/or people of color daring to have storylines to be main characters in projects like Star Wars. And I had heard about that with Star Wars. Now they've turned their attention to Amazon Prime's The Boys for its second season. There are fanboys for the show because it is graphic novels, I guess. But now this time, they don't appear to have an issue with the content of the show, its characters, or any of its storylines. Instead, they're mad about how it's being released, and showrunner Eric Kripke is understandably frustrated. Unlike season 1, The Boys' sophomore run is being released on a weekly schedule, more like traditional TV. It's not something unheard of on streaming, where shows from Hulu to Disney Plus have been presented this way. But the more common format for streaming shows is to dump an entire season at once. That's what The Boys did for its first season. While The Boys' second season is sitting pretty at 98% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, its audience score is only 81%, where its Prime Video review ranking is just 2.7 out of 5 stars, and it's basically getting review bombed as with ones because people are upset that it's being released on a weekly basis. So they're not even reviewing the show. They're just pissed off. What? We want to binge it now. We want what we want right now. Wah! One. I mean, this generation of crybaby ass. I want what I want right now, or I'll give you a bad review. I'll get you fired. I'll tell on you. So this is their tattletale. This is their Yelp, is the Prime. And it made me think twice, like, I wonder if the show's not that good. And it turns out they're just getting review bombed by fanboys.
No. I just watch a show if I like it. If somebody recommends it, hey, watch that. That's good. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. But I think it's a one. Although I will say, when you go through, Xfinity, they give you all the movie options. Uh-huh. If it's got a low rating, exactly. You go, I'm not sure about this one.
You don't want to waste your time.
Yeah.
No.
You get a little shook if something you think is going to be good, you look at it like, what the hell?
But I've also disagreed wholeheartedly with some of them.
Me too.
What the hell?
It all depends. If I like the people in it, I'll always give it a shot, even if it's got bad.
Have you seen Tenet yet?
No.
No, and everybody says it sucks, so I'm not going to watch it.
And suck.
Well, see, but everybody. No, I trust you didn't like it.
It didn't suck. It was just okay. It was just.
And I heard somebody else went and saw it, and they said, "What a waste of time."
Christopher Nolan. I will say that I liked Inception better the second time I saw it.
I didn't. I wasn't a
big
fan.
Did you see it more than once?
No, I couldn't watch it again.
That's the problem. I think if you watch it a second time, knowing what you know, I think the second time you watch, it's hard. You got to really pay attention to Christopher Nolan movies. You got to, well, at least Inception.
I don't want
to
work. I'd much rather have a.
Well, the first time I caught
a Pee Wee Herman.
The second time I liked it, I did like it better.
Of all things,
something.
What did he say?
He said, I'd rather have a Pee Wee Herman.
Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah.
By the way, is there a new dance?
House you're looking for?
I don't know.
Is there a new dance in the rap world with the Pee Wee Herman? Because I noticed it the other day on Florida State, two players doing it. Then I saw Juju Smith-Schuster doing something on the sideline with it.
You think it's called the Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah. It's the Pee Wee Herman dance. And I noticed that these are guys who shouldn't know about it with their age, and yet they do. So I'm wondering, it must be somewhere in the hip-hop world where it's coming back.
So take I don't a know. Look. I didn't even see Juju's dance, so I'm not sure. I can't speak on it. But what I can speak on is Texas A&M's head coach is going to join us
next, 8:11, ESPN 97.5. Jimbo Fisher, don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're
listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:14, ESPN 97.5. Let's bring in, hey, you hear the music, you know the station. It is, we are your station for Aggie football, ESPN 97.5. Coach Jimbo Fisher joining us here. What's up, Coach?
Good, how you doing?
Man, we're doing good. How about your football team? How's it doing?
Actually doing well. Had a good scrimmage Saturday. Guys are getting back, you know, a lot of guys getting a little nicks and knack, getting healthier, and starting to get back. We're starting game mode right now.
You know, I'm friends with Dana over here, and he's like, man, we got to play. It seems like it's been forever that he's had scrimmages, and they're like, Coach, we got to get out in the field and play somebody. Are you getting to that point?
Yeah, I think we are. It's been 2 weeks in. Guys are happy. But, you know, I think camp's been really good. I think they've understood that. But I think they're anxious to start preparing for an opponent right now. And guys have really done a really good job. I mean, they've stayed focused. And they're not trying to look ahead. And it's actually been a pretty good camp.
Yeah, it just seems like forever now, doesn't it? I mean, you guys got together beginning of, in July, early July, and now here we are, September 26th. Seems like you guys, you know, I would imagine we're tired of hitting each other.
Yeah, we are. They are. But, you know, it's been good. But a lot of the young guys, it's been really good for the young players. The extra meeting time and the things, getting those guys up to par so they can hopefully contribute and get through it. But, you know, that camp has been very interesting, but in a way, I've kind of liked it. It's been a really good camp.
Do you think this will lead to any changes, Coach, on how you guys do the off season, or will we get back to normal with spring and all of the, you know, the way that you guys met in the past? Or do you think that maybe this will come about with some changes?
I think there needs to be some discussion about that. I really do. I think there has to be some of that in the dates and times. But, you know, at the same time, you can't take away from some of the things that are going on as far as time constraints for them and for coaches, and some off time too that you both need. But I do think there's some thought process that needs to go into the future of how you run camp and the amount of days you're allowed to be there with the extra meeting time and the downtime, which I think can, you know, help their bodies.
Coach, I want to ask you a question about if there's a level of disappointment about, I know there are other teams, but you see the number of positive COVID tests for some of the teams headed into this week. And, you know, we see the NFL is now, granted, they're tested more, but they got much lower numbers in that league. And it's really a personal choice to try to keep you and your teammates as safe as possible if you choose to do so. I feel like that. Maybe I'm wrong, and that's why I want to ask you. Is there any level of disappointment that there are some programs where apparently players have taken, you know, way too many risks that have put other players and some of the opportunities here at risk?
Well, I think until it happens to you, I don't think sometimes, and you get in a groove and everything's well for a while, it's like a typical kid is 18 to 22 year old. It's like, you know, you're playing plays. You're playing really well for 10 plays. All of a sudden you take a break mentally and say, oh, I mean, I need a break here for a second. You take a play or two off, you don't do well. Kind of like those situations. The thing about this is it can be life or death, or it can be, you know, very serious to your football team that you can't have that break. But there's things in this COVID that can happen accidentally too. I mean, there still has to be interaction. They can't just lock themselves away. Sometimes they have to go to a grocery store. They have to go get gas in the car. I mean, there's interaction with people that happen that sometimes can cause that. But in other times, I think it's probably, I think kids just wanting to be kids and you know, they let up for just a second and all of a sudden they can get infected or, you know, come in contact with different people. And I think that's the hardest thing is, you realize that everybody you see or come in contact with, if they're not in your bubble or being tested like you are doing the things you do, you don't know their exposure. And it's a very different thing for a lot of guys. And I see how it happens, and I hate it for the kids and the players and the people it happens to.
We're talking with Jimbo Fisher, head coach of the Aggies, and this is your home for the Aggies, ESPN 97.5. So how are you getting ready? I mean, you got some tape on Deuce Wallace and Mo Hassan, and so Riley Neal gone. But how are you getting ready for Vanderbilt?
Well, I mean, we go back and you look at all the tape they had last year. You look at Ted Roof's history of what he has done, what he has done at App State, what he has done in the past before that when he was at Duke and Georgia Tech. And, you know, you're trying to evaluate what the scheme is defensively, offensively, of what they do. You know, Todd Fitch, I know Todd. The offensive coordinator things he's done at different places, Boston College, La Tech. I mean, Todd's been a really good football, South Carolina back in the day. Todd's been everywhere. He's a really good football coach. And then you got to look at the personnel. Then you got to evaluate for your scheme. Then you got personnel decisions. And you got to make them where they put them and who they're listing. So right now we're deep into that. We've had a great offseason study of them in that regard. Now we're divulging back in that as we start game planning these weeks coming up. So it's still mixed in some good on good with the number one defense as an offense. Make sure they're getting the fastball look. But then we'll start in the game plan this week. And this week, too, may look into a couple of our first couple opponents, things that they will do. And because you still got, we're still almost a week and a half out.
Yeah.
What's concerned over tackling? How much thud did you get to do in practice?
Oh, a lot of thud. And I tell you what, that's one of the things I've been pleased with. We have some good running backs, and our tackling drills, when we have went live, we've tackled pretty well in space, and I've been very happy with that. Like, in today's time, that's a huge thing. For the most part, we have tackled well with the limited amount, only just a little bit last year, but there's a ton of thud and a ton of wrap-up thud. I mean, not just getting their hands happen, but we're making sure that we're not trying to get the collisions too crazy and physical, but we want to get there and wrap up, and we're working on that extremely hard.
It's weird, isn't it? Because normally you're going to play a conference game, you'd have some tape on the guy, but maybe it's an advantage because Derek Mason's been there. Do you know what he's going? You got a pretty good idea of what he's going to do as opposed to somebody that maybe even a first time head coach.
It is, but again, remember now they got two new coordinators though too.
Yeah.
So they're part of it, how they change, and both guys are very established and guys that had a lot of success, so they're going to have a big emphasis on that too. So, but when you build your systems, you have to build your systems. There has to be rules. It can't just be memorization of plays. There's rules to it. There's calls to it. There's mic calls. There's what that puts us in and how they like to do, and then the blitz looks and the third down looks. But it's always the openers. As a head coach, I don't care what they are. They still give you butterflies that are different, man. I don't care. It's just because you don't ever know. You haven't played, and it's the unknown that you haven't seen on tape yet that you're preparing for everything.
Yep. Have you watched any football so far? Any college ball?
I watched very little Saturday. I got a game or so in because we were actually at our last scrimmage at 2:30, so it was kind of right there in the middle of the day. We were preparing going up, and then we scrimmaged and got a few of the night games in. But it was good to get back and see interesting how some teams, and some guys look really sharp, and then you see your typical things. You have special teams issues, which you always worry about early, turnover issues, tackling issues, assignment, pre-snap penalties, all those self-inflicted wound things. Some teams have done a really good job of that, some haven't, but it's just good to get it watched back on TV.
I'm going to say this. I don't know what I'm trying to remember if there's any ties. I know my dad coached with you at LSU. He was with Greg Davis after Mack Brown left at Tulane. I don't think you ever crossed paths with Mack Brown on a coaching staff, but I got to say, I'm really shocked at how Mack Brown has gone from getting out of coaching and away from coaching. I didn't think it ended very well for him at Texas. I didn't have very high hopes for him at North Carolina. I think he's done one hell of a job so far at North Carolina.
Yeah, they're doing a good job. I mean, Mack and him are doing a good job, and that state, you got to remember that state is full of players.
Yeah,
and
I guess
Mack
so.
Had success there. You got to remember, Mack had success there, and they didn't have as much success when he left. So when he comes back, it rejuvenates the fan base. It rejuvenates the state. It gives pride in the university. Mack's always been a really good recruiter, good football coach. And, getting out of it, too, doesn't always mean, because Mack was around it because he was commentating. So he's picking up a lot of things from different people. He's probably adding to. And Mack's got a great name, and that state is full of players, and they're back in there doing a really good job.
Yeah. I tell you what, watching, there's been some quality play, Coach. I mean, like you said, first games, and you're worried about false starts, and you're worried about tackling. And we've seen some instances of teams that couldn't tackle at all. BYU took advantage of that. But for the most part, it's been pretty darn good, I think.
Well, it is. I mean, if there's good coaches, players want to play. There's good players out there. The athletes are getting better and better, and there's a hunger. And, I mean, anything you're hungry for and you want to do, you seem to do well. And I think, not like I said, America wants football back, but I think the kids want it back. I mean, they want to get back to normality and being able to play games and do what they do and see their futures as they go forward.
Do you want to see – and see, the Big Ten is talking about getting back. We'll see if they're able to. Pac-12 is now talking about maybe mid-November. I don't know how that would work out as far as getting a national – But what are you thinking about, without these conferences in there, you know, a national champion being crowned, and how, you know, what do you, is it, I don't think it's an asterisk, but what do you think about it?
I don't think it's an asterisk. Listen, it is what it is, and there's still a lot of great football teams in this deal, and you know, that's the group that we have, and you name a national champion, and you go on, and because there's still tremendous football, and you know, like I say, you get leagues like the SEC, who, like I say, the top teams in every league can play, but we're so deep in this league. Of teams that can be in the playoffs, that, you know, if you weren't in this league or different things that go on, it may get opportunities and things that happen in the future for bowl games and championships that, you know, the ACC, I mean, you know, the Big 12. I mean, all these leagues, and you definitely want to name a national champion. These kids have to have something to play for, and there's plenty of good teams in here and plenty of good players that will name a national champion, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to it, man. We still got less than a couple weeks to go here. We're staring at it just around the corner. Can't wait to see you guys on the field. I'm sure you can't either. So we appreciate you being here once again, and we'll talk to you again next week, Coach.
Guys, great to be with you. Thank you very much.
All right, there's Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's your home for the Aggies right here, ESPN 97.5. All right, it's 825, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Right now, let's talk about some patios, Lance.
Texas Custom Patios. That's the only one that I'm talking about because I had one built. And I actually got them on the radio station. I sought them out when I saw their work. I knew I wanted to get a patio. I looked at some different companies. I actually asked Twitter, and people said, have you checked this place? And nothing really hit me that hard until somebody mentioned Texas Custom Patios. And I was like, wow, on the website, I was blown away. And I thought, well, this is not going to, like, I'm not going to be able to get something like this. This is, my house is just kind of average house. And the more I visited with Steven, he showed me exactly what it would look like. They matched the roof. They matched it to my roof, which is a different kind of roof. It was pre-existing. They found the metal shingles to match it exactly to form. I mean, it looks like it was built with the original house there, only it's brand new looking. It really beautified the backyard. It's a great outdoor space, big screen TV, surround sound. I've got a fire pit back there. The kids have made s'mores on the fire pit. I'm not sure if they're supposed to, but we do it anyway. It's great to have another place for either the kids to go out and watch TV or for me to go out and watch my games. And it's something that I think you'll really love. And for so many people who have spent so much time at home, they have understood now that having an outdoor living space is something that really will add an element to your house and turn it into a home. That's why they've had so many phone calls over the summer. Make sure you get your call in so you can have it ready for this great weather that will be coming up. Call Texas Custom Patios and check out the website. As a matter of fact, go look at the work that they've done. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
829 ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I'm watching that bitch Carol Baskin dance with the stars.
Yo, you got to get your mans. This is too much.
He's not my guy.
This is too much.
That's your guy.
Is she not? What's her name?
It's your man's name.
Just because.
It's her name.
Just because Joe Exotic referred to her as that. That ain't her name on her birth certificate.
Kind of is. She got a 3. Who wins? Joe.
But you've gone over your limit today. Yeah.
How many times have you said
that? You've gone well past your quota.
It's barely 8:30.
Apparently, they set the record last night.
No, they didn't. The number of times you've said it has already surpassed that.
I think it's true.
No.
Even the times they said it during the break.
No, they said it a lot.
No, they haven't. You said it like five or six times
already.
Oh,
with F words. Have I dropped any F words with it? No.
So, I'm talking about the B word. You've gone past your quota.
I'm just telling you. Listen, if you're talking about Carol Baskin, what are you going to say?
It is true, though. I mean, I can say it. You've gone past your quota.
Yeah, it's Lance can say it.
Carol Baskin. That's true.
All I know is that she got a 3. Okay.
Well, no one expects her to be able to dance.
Joe Exotic wins again.
Isn't he in jail?
Yes, but so he wins the game of life against Carol Baskin.
Not only did she win the lawsuit,
she's a killer.
She won his zoo.
I think
she's making money on Dancing with the Stars, and he's in jail, and she's still the loser.
So, yeah, I'd rather than dance like her. I'd rather be in jail.
No,
I'd rather be in prison than dance like
her. You've never spent any time in prison. That's why.
You don't know that. You don't know. I've never spent any time. I've done time.
Are you telling us you spent?
You
time
really
in prison?
Actually don't know, Del.
You don't know.
Have you spent time in prison?
Not really per se.
All right, I said prison. I didn't say jail. I didn't say a night. I said prison.
Oh yeah, prison. Not per se.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's get Brad in here. What's up, Brad?
Hey, John. I just wanted to congratulate you on your hole in one last week, and I wanted to see if we could get a little play by play of how it happened.
What hole in one?
I had a hole in one last week.
What? You didn't say that on the show.
Yeah, I had a hole in one.
When did you get a hole in one?
I got a hole in one last Thursday.
You did?
Yeah.
Is that your first one?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was cool.
What was that like?
It was neat. I didn't even see it, though. I was picking up my tee, and they all go, what? It went in. You didn't even see it. I was like,
but it had to feel good. Like,
it did.
When it left,
I knew it was good. But you never think it's going in the hole.
Yeah, but sometimes it feels so good that you want to, like, oh, man, that's, you feel it.
Yeah, but great. I hit so many good shots. It was just another one. Actually, I was on a roll right there. That was my third approach.
Oh, really?
Well, I had two approaches that were right. Yeah, I actually was playing.
How far was it?
It was 146 yards uphill, a little bit against the wind. Eight iron.
Yeah. Oh, 8 iron uphill, not up that giant hill.
No, it wasn't at it was at Wood Forest.
So yeah. 140. That's not. Yeah,
146.
That's a pretty reasonable par three.
Yeah, yeah. No,
we're playing. Playing from the ladies.
Actually, the pin was way up as opposed if on that green, if it would have been in the back, it would have been 160 some yards. It's a shorter hole. It's the number 7 on the west, but it's a shorter hole, but it was still a hole in one.
Just drop and go in?
Yeah.
What'd you do after that?
Just went up and picked up the ball. I think they videotaped me getting the ball out. That's all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was
cool. Did you end up having a drink at have a drink?
It cost me $400 buying drinks. You have to buy drinks after you have a hole in one.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it cost me $400.
A hole in one costs you $400.
$400.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound.
No, you don't want to do that very often.
You know what? It's one of the reasons I
everybody's like,
typically
yeah,
like
give
to,
me another one. He's buying.
I like to hit it a little left to make sure that never happens. I want to make sure. My golf. Man. I'm wondering if I'll ever golf again. Actually,
if well, yeah, you're injured. If that was put upon me, like I'm some rookie on an NBA team. Oh, Rooklet, you're buying stuff. But if this happened on the golf course where I succeeded, and you're like, hey man, every round's on you. I was like, you better get out of here.
So my dad told the story.
I'm not buying you guys anything.
We'll see.
How about
get out of here?
That's why you don't. It's a gentleman's game, and
here.
You play by the rules. Let me ask y'all
what y'all think of this. So my dad was with the Steelers. Tony Hills was a rookie out of Texas, fourth-round pick. It's the same year Dwayne Brown was drafted, because I remember if the Texans hadn't drafted Dwayne Brown, the next guy up who would be a zone scheme tackle was going to be Tony Hills, and he didn't go until the third or fourth round. So a big push was made by Alex Gibbs to make sure that they could get Dwayne Brown. And so they drafted Dwayne Brown earlier than anyone thought he should have gone. Because Alex Gibbs said, we got to have him. We got to have tackle. Alex was very instrumental in getting Dwayne Brown and getting a tackle. So Tony Hills goes to the Steelers. Well, that's when my dad started coaching. That's when my dad was coaching the Steelers. So he told me the story years later. Well, maybe not years later. Maybe like 2 years later, 3 years later, that as a rookie, Tony Hills was, you know, the offensive line all went out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And they blasted, like Tony Hills had a big bill, like $60,000 or something crazy. And he's making third round money. And he was so upset by it that he went to his agent, and his agent went to Mike Tomlin, went to the team, like Kevin Colbert and Tomlin about this. And they were like, they had to go speak to the other offensive lineman. And then that created a rift in the locker room. But all I could think of was, dude, that's kind of messed up. Like, I get the hazing thing, but y'all get 16 checks a year. And this is a first contract guy who's not in the first round either. Like, that's kind of a little messed up.
No, it is messed up. But you don't want that in the locker. You don't.
No.
Because you ain't accepted no more. You're going tattling.
No,
to the head
that's
coach.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's tough. I don't know if that's the exact. Maybe they picked up some of the tab. I don't know if that was the exact, if I'm remembering correctly, if that was the exact, that he had to pay the entire thing. But I remember his agent apparently went and complained to the front office and Mike Tomlin. And then, you know, because the O-line room is very, it's very clicky. Like, they're a family. They're a family, the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the same time, I'm like, well, he ain't wrong. Like, you can't get that deep in the man's pockets.
It's a trash family. You're going to take $60K away from me? How much back then, what year was that?
And maybe it was like 26,000, whatever it was. Whatever I remember it was. Looking. That's a good chunk of money for that anybody. Well, but a third rounder, he was probably making, you know, my guess is he was making $450,000, something like that.
How about this?
Before taxes?
The Cowboys ran up a $55,000 tab during their annual rookie dinner at Texas Steakhouse. But they didn't leave the first year players to foot the bill. Tony Romo, I guess, picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
But when you're ordering wine bottles to go,
yeah,
like, that's too much.
Did that happen here with a player? I feel like we talked about something similar.
No, Fred Weary got tased.
No.
Oh.
Well, that was,
did that happen to
that
a
was
rookie
way
here?
Different.
Yeah, no, that's a right. Way different
way
scenario.
Way
that's
different.
Right. Antoine Peake got his playbook stolen out of his car.
No.
He got his whole car stolen.
And
actually.
Ed Reed got his money taken out of his bag.
Is that what you're talking about?
No,
when Ed Reed left $20,000 cash in a trash
there was
bag?
A rookie here. I don't know.
Because Ed Reed had money in it. Hey, let me get $20,000 out the bank. He goes to the bank. Would you like an envelope? No, I brought a trash bag. Put it in a trash bag. Ed, we could get you something. Just chunk it in the trash bag. I'm going to be okay. Ed, excuse me, sir, manager, can you come here? This homeless man is looking for $20,000. That's not a homeless, that's Ed Reed.
No, it was K.J. Dillon. Remember, he ordered a salad. Like, he only ordered a salad, but the rest of the guys ran up a bill of like $16K.
Ooh.
I remember
and
that
rookie was a fifth rounder?
I remember we talked about
that. Damn, that's a rookie. Yeah,
that's
I wouldn't have been here.
Fifth rounder, right?
I wouldn't have been here, but.
Well, you weren't here?
No, I wouldn't have been here because not when K.J. Dillon got drafted.
No.
But would Sean Salisbury have been okay with that as a veteran?
I think you move on. That's all.
That's what I wondered about.
Yeah.
I forgot what his side was. He was drafted fifth round, 2016.
Yeah, fifth round.
That money ain't $16,000 salad money.
No.
His salad was $13.
Woo! Cheesecake Factory's expensive, bro.
I remember that came up here where the guy was like,
John, you got Del Frisco's charging $16,000 for salads?
No, Del Frisco ain't doing that. Coors Light, $400? Yeah, that's a lot of Coors Light I had to buy, Brother Bear.
But
that's
they might have been at like a Del Frisco's because they're going to go to a steakhouse.
They were at Papa's.
Yeah.
Papa's Steakhouse?
Yeah. Oh.
Papa's.
That ain't true.
No.
What
you're talking size? 60,
what
that,
size?
Hey, the steak was the cheapest thing, and that's $60
a
piece.
I know when you go to like Papa's Steakhouse, really any steakhouse, like you see the steak prices, like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, and what sides? No, nothing.
Coming. Nothing.
Yeah, but we're talking about.
Is this a plate with a steak on it? The first time I went, like, so just a plate with steak.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's a good steak, though, now.
Well, the 22 Hennessy's for $7,700 would help.
That's it. That's the key. That's it. They just run it up with the most expensive alcohol they can get.
KJ, $16,255.20. And plus whatever
was the tip added?
No, we just saw the total.
No, you know, I would imagine that those waiters are putting that tip on there, automatic.
Well, I didn't in this itemized bill, it didn't show what the tip was.
Because sir, $16,000, I'm going to imagine that they did not, they added the tip on because you ain't going to get tipped well enough on a $16,000 tab. You just ain't. I don't care who's.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm only seeing, this is a story from, they had to screenshot the tweet because he eventually deleted. I'm only seeing part of the bill.
The problem with the tip is that you could order beers or Henny's and it's the same amount of work that the waiter has to do, just bringing it to the table, even though it's multiple times, whatever the case may be. If it's a $4 beer or a $200 shot, it's the same work.
Yeah, I
so
know.
So you're kind of like, if it's $16,000, you're like, really? You need 20% of that?
Bro.
You need 20% of 16,000?
I know. It's hard to get your mind around that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't you be much better off? Wouldn't you like it better if we were like Europe in a sense that, of course, I've never been to Europe at all. But and I know it's not every part of Europe, but where and there are some parts of New York where it's just it's already in the bill.
Yeah,
you
well,
tip, it's in the bill,
and they pay them a wage. A lot of places in Europe, you don't. It's like you throw a dollar on a $100 tab.
Yeah,
they don't tip.
Well, it's because and then you pay the restaurant can work it into food prices and they pay a wage.
Yes,
to the waiters.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
Where the waiters know what they're making.
They know what they're making. Right. That's, you know, but you still, and they're like, when you do tip, because we tip like it's America, they're hugging you on the way out. And they're like, oh, thank you. They love you. Thank you, American. We love you. Except in France, they suck.
Look at this. My dad hit
left the French.
Two hole-in-ones in his lifetime. And yes, had to buy a round each time. Had to buy a round.
A round.
You obviously bought more than a round.
Well, yeah. No. This was when we were watching the Texans game and I picked it up because this is the same night as the Texans game.
He said those golf balls were proudly displayed at my parents' home, and when he passed away, we had them in the casket. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I got the ball still. I kept the ball. Although I hit it on the next tee box, and they were all like, what are you doing? Dumbass. You keep the ball, and you keep the scorecard, and you keep the glove. You don't go play it. But I hit it down in the middle of the fairway, which was and then I picked it up. I was playing well then. The next hole, I put it this far from the cup on the second shot. I almost had two holes.
Did you really?
Two eagles in a row. Yeah. 842 ESPN 97.5 713-780. I was hot. I was on fire right there. But if you're on fire and you need to turn the air conditioning down, you go with Champion Energy because it costs you less. I need you right now, please, people. I need you to go to champion.energy/1560 and see how much you're going to save. And you say, well, that rate isn't any better. Well, you know, it doesn't, you know, they don't have nights and weekends. Hey, where's my free stuff? And then when you get your bill from the other guys with all that free stuff, it's like, holy crap, how did it get this high? I'm telling you, here and now, you're going to pay less with Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. You will love them. You will love everything about it because your bill will be less. Champion.energy/1560.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
844 ESPN 97.5. Now the Braddock and Creighton, the late hits is all over Twitter, the Twitch feed.
What do you mean?
It's out there now.
How did that get out there?
I don't know. Somebody recorded it.
Okay. Someone
Dustin his sources.
Oh, he recorded it.
I guess.
Well, I guess
5-star movie of the year. He called it.
Well, I guess since it's on Twitch, I don't know if we archive all the Twitch stuff. You might be able just to go back and pull it.
I don't know
if we archive every show on the Twitch where you can go back and watch stuff. That might be what he did.
That might be what he did, but it's uncomfortable.
Well,
warning.
I mean, if you like a real argument between two guys, it's right up your alley. I mean, we know them in some way, shape, or form. We're not close per se, but it's like, man, that's ugly.
Oh, he kept calling Patrick Creighton the B word over and over.
I mean, that can happen when you feel a little embarrassed about what's going on. Particularly, I don't know Jason's situation. He might have people he knows and likes listening to it. And hey, man, Jason's on the show. Let's listen. And then we like to listen to Jason. That's our people. And then something like that happens where, I mean, Patrick was a little disrespectful, a little condescending.
Yeah.
A little bit. That could get you a little fired up.
No. No.
I get it.
You're a little disrespectful.
And if you got people out there listening that you, or just, no, he knows people are listening. Maybe people he knows are listening. That could get you a little fired up. Hey, man, you ain't gonna, don't play me like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it.
Yeah, I mean, when he was telling, the teacher told you to do your homework at home, I think I might have responded much the same way.
Yeah.
If you want to know the truth.
I mean,
I ain't scared to throw the B word around.
Well, clearly, you've shown that to be the case today.
Oh. We throw it around playing golf all the time. I'm going to beat you.
I mean, look, having a show, you have times where you get, like, eventually, you'll have times where you get into it about stuff. You get frustrated. It could be something going on at home. Whatever. You usually don't do it on the air. I will say, if I were another station, if I were doing a show in Lansing, Michigan right now, and that audio was available to me, I would 100% play the whole thing on my show.
Mm-hmm.
We did it before. When we have radio meltdowns, radio meltdowns are some of the best. I'll never forget. I thought of Michigan because the guy once Michigan State lost.
Why
are we...
Yeah.
Yeah, I got offered a job
in Lansing?
In San Francisco by Jason Barrett back in 2014. I hit his radar because I just went off on the I was so pissed off about the Brock Osweiler Texans. No. Yeah, I think that's what it was. I don't know. Might have been before that, but I was just going off on the Texans. And I don't know. This guy was a program director in San Francisco, but he would always listen to different shows around the nation. He knows a lot of different things. And he heard mine from a podcast. And he already knew me. And then he started reaching out to me. Hey, I really like that, blah, blah, blah. And we started talking. And before you know it, like 5 months later, 5 or 6 months later, that summer, he offered me a job in San Francisco. And I almost took it. I was like, man, I got to. Because at the time, the Astros were nothing. We didn't even follow baseball.
No.
Like, baseball? And the Giants are winning a World Series. I'm like, man, I got to learn Giants baseball, A's baseball. I didn't care about Warriors. That wasn't going to be a problem. Raiders wasn't going to be a problem. Learning Raiders, learning 49ers. You know, those are the two. Those are the teams. But learning baseball, like baseball. And I said, how big a deal is baseball? He goes, oh, it's huge. The Giants are huge. I'm like, yeah, but you guys are the home of the A's. Yeah, no one cares about the A's. You have to know the A's, but no one cares about the A's. We'll get a ton of calls. And I was like, man, I don't know any of the, like, I know some history of the Giants, but not the last 4 or 5 years. Astros were out of the National League. I didn't care about the National League anymore. I didn't even care about baseball. The Astros didn't even exist. I was like, nah. And then I was like, yes, I'm going to go. And then I eventually said no. And that guy, you know who I was going to be paired with? The guy who I did SEC guy with in Portland. The very first time, Chad Dewing. He wanted to pair me and Chad Dewing together. So Chad took the job.
Chad Dewing?
Remember Chad Dewing?
No.
SEC guy called Oregon. And Chad knew, you know, and then the very first, and Chad knew that an SEC guy was a setup, but Anthony Newman didn't. He's the one, hey, watch yourself. This is my show, too. Like, you plays foo-foo, sissy boy, cake boy. That guy played football at Arizona State. Hey, now watch yourself. That's not how this conference plays. He said, Cuneman Newman had no idea. He just thought that was an SEC caller. He was losing his mind. But so he was going to pair me and Chad together. Chad moved there. I'm like, yeah, I can't. I'm out. I'm not going to. I told Chad, I don't.
Plus, you'd have to learn San Jose hockey.
No. I was told I didn't have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about no hockey?
No. And I looked at places to live. I'm like, I can live about 40 minutes away.
Speaking of.
That's not good. And then the program director moved like 8 months later, and then they got rid of Chad after a year. Like, oh. And the NFL came and asked me about working in the NFL, which I couldn't have done if I had to move to a new city and learn new sports, new teams. So, no tinks.
So,
and then they pooed in the streets.
Yeah, now. How'd you like to be there now?
And they pooed in the streets all the time. I was like, oh, man.
I got a text from my brother, and he sent me a link. Granato, part of U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame class of 2020.
Not you.
Tony Granato is going to his sister Cammy's already in, and now Granato. Tony's in, huh?
Did you ever skate?
I did. We played football, which is why I do this instead of having all that
money.
Where
were they from, Wisconsin?
All that money. No, they're from Chicago. It was Downers Grove. They grew up in Downers Grove, which is a suburb of Chicago. But now he's at University. He's the University of Wisconsin head coach. Mm. Yeah. How about a Dell? Yeah. How many Olales are in the Hall of Fame? Zero.
I don't know. I don't keep up with my
zero.
I don't know.
Boop, boop, boop. How many Zerlines are in Hall of Fame? Zero.
Greg Zerline's going to be?
Any member?
Different Zerline.
Any member of your family ever play in the NFL?
Nope.
Well, beat you there.
Mm-hmm. No. Never. Yes. Oh, but Hall of Fame?
I don't care.
I'd much rather be a Hall of Famer
No one cares about
that
hockey.
That made a roster one time.
No one cares about hockey.
No one cares about hockey.
Oh, yeah. No. Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame.
You can say Hall of Fame multiple times.
Yeah.
And I will still tell you no one cares.
Renato Jeans.
But you didn't do anything with it.
Yeah. No.
How you can't take credit.
Just shows you what kind of athlete you're talking about.
Yeah, but
here.
You didn't take advantage of any of that.
Yeah. No. That's exactly right.
No, what?
Mm-hmm.
What are you knowing to? You didn't even, that's not even a sentence. No, yeah. What are you talking about?
Yep. Joel. Tony played at UW. Legend. You're damn right he did. You're damn right he did. And then he was on the 88
John,
U.S. Olympic hockey
John.
Team. Then he was a Ranger. Then he played with, oh, he roomed
true.
With
those,
Gretzky.
Those are all true.
Those are all true.
Nothing to do with you. John, stop being a little.
Why don't you say it?
Say it.
No, I got to say it off mic.
Why,
just like it happened.
Why being a bitch and not saying it?
No, because the joke is it happened off mic. Just
that's
like
not the ninth time he said that word.
It's not about being scared. The joke was it happened off mic for the previous show. That's why.
Yep, that's what I'm talking
God,
about.
I don't care about your mic.
Hall of Fame.
Congratulations. Are you in the Hall of Fame?
Nope.
All right, then. So what do you care?
Oh, but Granato is.
When's the last time
not
you
talked? Not Olale.
When's the last time
you know
talked
what you never
Tony?
Heard? Olale, Hall of Famer.
We won't even get into Texas Radio Hall of Fame because other radio people don't like
that's
us.
True. When's mm-hmm. when's the last time really you talked to Tony, to Josh?
We don't care. I don't care.
When's the last time you talked to Tony?
Probably last year.
Can't even remember.
No, last year.
You're so close.
Yeah, we're tight.
Get F out.
You want me to call him?
When's the last time you had a dinner in the same place?
Call him and get him on.
When's the last time you had a dinner in the same place? They'll stop. We're going to end up with Tony Granato on the show.
Good. He can tell us about how
talking Wisconsin hockey.
We can talk about how you're terrible
oh,
Wisconsin
he'll
is.
Tell you about me.
Yeah, you're terrible. I know.
Yeah.
No, he won't tell you all the stories. I listened to an old, I didn't know it. It's old audio from 1560 where John's telling some of his stories where me and Chris Solis, who would come in like 2 days a week or 3 days a week, we got to ask John questions about his childhood. We need to replay that because he gave up some information and he stopped short. You told us about the chop shop next door to you. Oof. Where the guy ended up dead in a...
Talking to my next door neighbor.
Yeah, your next door neighbor.
He ended up chopped up in his trunk.
Yeah. John told us this whole story. I'm starting to see why he stopped short of telling us anything about why he left Chicago. It gets weird.
That's not why. I wasn't in no chop shop.
No, I know, but... I just feel like...
We're not doing that. We're not delving into that.
Oh, see? There it is.
Yeah. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Mm. That's not any fun.
His name changed in Lafayette.
Yeah.
Is his name Granato?
Grant. John Grant.
No, but is his real name Granato?
Yeah, my real name is Granato.
Are we sure? Are you sure, Lance?
I mean, when I did the family tree stuff, I think it was spelled different.
Okay.
Like, Granato.
I was trying to explain that to my wife. Like, and she said, well, this explains a lot. On this small Italian town, hundreds and hundreds of years my family was there.
Yeah, so I tracked, what is it called? The Ancestry.com, I guess. I tracked Granato's all the way back. He just gave me the names of great-grandparents. I kept in it, and it really can track a lot of stuff. It gives you, and John's family, I tracked him back like the 1500s, 1400s. It's just the same. All the Granato's live in the same. It's the same village.
Inbreeding, you think?
I mean,
and my wife is the one saying that. I'm like, you're from Louisiana. Stop.
Ooh.
Okay. Oh, all right. I want to hear you telling me about inbreeding.
Well,
I don't. Ooh-wee!
Man,
these five new roots go way back
to brother and sister.
Watch me play spoons on a big board.
Right.
Like, what are y'all doing? That's not an instrument. You're playing spoons on a washboard.
That's an instrument.
Stop acting like that's an instrument, Cajun.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want Tony? You want to get him on or what?
Nah,
we're Hall of Famer?
No, not really. We don't care. I told you no one cares about hockey.
We're totally
good. All right.
By the way,
if you want, that's
Raheel's our dearly departed Raheel, his Vegas Golden Knights eliminated in the Western Conference Finals. So,
oh,
no back-to-back finals appearances.
Rest in peace, Vegas Knights. Yeah, how's that? Hey, do you know what you hear a lot with this? Hey, cousin, will you marry me?
Oh, wow. Why is Louisiana catching it all of a sudden now?
I mean, because
I caught it.
Because Wendy brought up from
my little Italian town in Calabria.
They caught it all over the place. Like, Granado, boom, boom. Did no one come from a different village? Like,
nobody.
Not just somebody just say, man, I'm getting tired of this village. I want to go find some strange in Calabria.
Nope.
No one want to go look for some strange in Calabria?
Nope. It was a village
what
of about what?
What happens in Calabria stays in Calabria?
Man, what happens with your
family tree shooting straight up like a pine tree?
John hadn't seen the show, but his that community just like the Dark community. Have you seen Dark?
I started it.
It's just everyone like the granddad is actually a father like of his own kid. Like the grand, there's so much crap. Like you can be the great aunt of your own daughter in the show because it's just a loop timeline where everyone. Dark is hard to explain, but I imagine if there was like time travel in your community, it'd be the same way.
It'd be
like a daughter is actually the mom of herself.
Now,
yeah,
what now?
That's how crazy it is. Yeah.
8:57 ESPN 97.5. Is today Friday? It kind of feels like a Friday show. It's just Tuesday.
Did you see Aaron Wilson had a comment from about Bill O'Brien on Mike D'Antoni?
All right. Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Let's. We can do that on the other side right here on ESPN. But right now, a little TGS Insurance.
So you saw firsthand what TGS Insurance does. John texted the word money to 23-23-23. He asked me, "What do I do?" It's just text money to 23-23-23. They ask for your address, and you get a quote back in seconds. I wasn't lying about that. And they are. John found that he can pay a third of what he was paying previously. Those savings are huge. I mean, you're talking about you get into the thousands on your savings. That's a big deal. The average savings is $900 annually. Could you use $900 annually for something? I'm sure you could. You know, you could take care of whatever your tax bill is. You could add that to whatever you want to do. And there's a lot of people who are saving way more than $900. So make sure that you go find out if you could be saving that kind of money as well at TGS Insurance. You're getting A-rated insurance companies. They just don't spend the advertising budget. They're the underwriters for the big companies. Well, you go straight to the underwriters, and that's who you get as your insurance company, A-rated insurance at discounted rates. Go to TGSinsurance.com to learn more about it. Or you know what? Pull your cell phone out right now and just text the word money to 232323 and then tweet me and let me know how much they were able to save you with their quote, and it's a firm quote, on your homeowner's insurance.